You are listening to The Forecast, Season 1, Episode 17. This episode is dedicated to Bugsy Moran. We also remember the victims of the Westminster terror attack.
I don't really know the number because that's what Joe always does. Talking about Joe, he's not here. I'm here. I'm Eric. I'm hosting this one. With me today are the benevolent Keith, Jason, and Vess. Hiya, guys. How are you?
Hey, guys. All good. A little bit more enthusiasm coming from you, Eric, as the moderator, please.
Okay, I'll try to smile more because that really works well on these podcast thingies. You don't see it, but I'm really grinning from ear to ear. Talking about the smiling thing, something that is not something to smile about happened today. The club parted with Ronnie Moran, who died at the age of 83 after a 49-year spell at Liverpool. We will be talking about him. Going from there, we will talk a bit about the City game. Then we'll obviously do the preview of the Everton game. Interesting discussion, what we will do if Henderson is fit. Then we'll have a look at the international games, who plays where, and do we expect something of it, or do we just basically decide that we all don't care about the international games. And then we will have another myth to bust that will be in a separate section. So we will save that for later. Or basically, you've seen this written down when you're listening to this. So the myth is, do FSG and Klopp underestimate what star power means in England? And we will be on that more later. First of all, Ronnie Moran. Keith, you're basically as old
This is ageism. So. You're only giving me Ronnie Moran because I'm the eldest on the show.
Hold on. I did speak before to Vez, and he said, I don't know anything, I'm too young. So he played the ageism card. Jason has been looking into things today. He will be talking a bit about him. But yeah, because you're basically almost as old as he is. So
almost. I've got some underwear as old as him.
Look, so what does Ronnie Moran, when we say Ronnie Moran, what does that mean? What does it ring?
It means the boot room. Let's face it, he was one of the original members of the boot room. Look, he's had a long career before that, and let's not discount that he played from 52 to 68. He had 343 appearances for Liverpool. Actually, he scored 16-odd goals. A couple of years as a caretaker coach for Dalglish and Souness. So, listen, he's had that. But I think the biggest impact from Ronnie Moran, apart from being a Pisces like me, we could use him right now as a left back, is that Shankly saw something in him, and Shankly brought him in to the boot room. And that, what a boot room that was, with Shankly, Paisley, Fagan, Bennett, and obviously Ronnie Moran. he's synonymous with Liverpool Football Club for the old timers. I mean, going back over the years, and he was steeped in what Shankly wanted to accomplish, and he was never one for taking the limelight. He did all the hard yards behind the scene, a bit like the brain and everything behind Klopp, when you had the big personalities of Shankly, the big personality, but quiet, of Paisley. Moran was part of that team, and he's going to go down as a Liverpool legend, which is right. And he will be forever remembered. And rest in peace, Ronnie Moran. You will never be forgotten, and you'll never walk alone.
Well, that's as good as it gets. Jason, anything you want to add to it?
Yeah. One thing that I heard about Ronnie Moran is that he was very good at keeping the players grounded. You know, especially when we've gone through the younger players and that sort of thing, when they first came into the team, he was kind of key to bringing them through and making sure that they didn't get too big for their boots, kind of good at putting people in their place. And that he wasn't afraid to give his opinion to anyone, whether they are a star player or the manager. Obviously, everyone in the club had a lot of respect for him. And even after he retired, he was still known to visit Melwood and walk around. So some of the newer players had to be kind of told who this guy was walking around the club after he'd retired. One thing I find interesting, Keith kind of alluded to it, saying that he liked to be in the background and so on, but he never went on to manage even a game for Liverpool.
Yeah, he's been.
No,
he's
he did. He was caretaker. He was caretaker. Yeah, I think he had about 10 games in total that he managed as a caretaker when Dalglish stepped down and when Souness got fired. But he started off as a reserve team manager along with Joe Fagan. That's where he cut his teeth on the management side. Yeah. So yeah, he never sought the limelight.
What do you make of it that he never went on to actually manage full time?
Well, I think he was just that personality. He loved to be part of the Liverpool setup. He was there his entire life basically. And when it's like the brain with Klopp setup. He's happy to work with a Klopp type personality, and giving his input and being part of this whole successful team. You know, not everybody can be the lead singer of the band. Somebody has to play the bass guitar and the drums. So I think he was happy with his role. He was comfortable, and I think that's where it suited and fitted him best. He didn't have one of those big personalities to go into a dressing room and yell and scream. He would take them aside quietly and ground them, tell them what the club is about, give them the ethos of the boot room mentality, and that's what he did his best work is behind the scenes, and let the people like Shankly, Paisley, and everybody do what they did best.
Yeah, I read an interesting quote from, I think it was John Barnes, basically seconds after they've won the league, they were in the dressing room having a bit of a fest, and Ronnie came in with all the medals in some plastic bag, and he dropped them on a table, and he said, right lads, 4 weeks to pre-season. You know, all about this is nice. What we go on, we move on. Next year, new prizes, hard work, every day. That really struck me because that's that winning mentality that we just currently don't have, and it's not for the want of trying, but, you know, winning isn't ingrained in the club at the moment.
Well, how can it be ingrained in the club when you get Brendan Rodgers, who hasn't won anything, you get Roy Hodgson, who's got 30 years of mediocrity. We just haven't had those leaders. We had it with Rafa. We had it a bit with the old Jedi. I was never a fan of Jedi. But we're getting it back, that winning mentality, the desire, that hunger that Klopp brings, and the pedigree that he's done it before, that people can say, yeah, he knows what he's talking about. We must listen to this man. We're getting back to that. And hopefully Klopp will instill his own type of boot room regime at Liverpool and get the players believing once again.
Well, he's got Pep Leinders, the Dutch coach, who coming through the ranks, who has done some very interesting interviews about that. You know, with I don't know what's his name, Peter Kravic, and Bulvac, he hasn't got lads who have written over them that they will manage, but Pep is certainly one who's looking to get into management. So, yeah, he's getting a bit of that Boudreau-esque thing, you know.
Stephen Gerrard moving into the into a 100%. Coaching role as well.
Yeah, that will be great. And it shouldn't just stop with him. And maybe Stevie won't be a coach or a manager, but if he can move into, I don't know, the what Stevie Highway did in back in the day for the academy, or you know, the things that Ajax are doing, they've upgraded Van der Sar from, you know, he came in as head of marketing just to learn the ropes of what it's like to run around in an office. And now he's actual manager. Mark Overmars is head of footballing affairs or something, you know, basically a technical director. You know, that's something that instills a certain way where you can say, okay, we are a business and that's all fine. But we're first and foremost, we're a football club and we're about winning. Overmars, Van der Sar, all these players, you know, they're big, big players. They've won loads and loads of things. They know what it's like to win. So when you play for a club and you know that Van der Sar is the leader of the boardroom, that Mark Overmars, who won UEFA, the Europa Leagues and Champions Leagues and what have you, he's the one doing the contract. You know you're in a place that's about football and that's about winning. So, yeah, Steven Gerrard, really, really good call.
It's going to be interesting to see if he does make that transition. There's not many really famous footballers that can make that transition. I mean, Maradona is probably one of the best failures in terms of that. You look at Van Basten. He never went into it. Gillett never went into it. Yeah, no, he went into it, but he's not synonymous with being a great manager. Yes, we got Koemans. Yes, definitely. So it is a hit or miss. I think if we look at Stevie, he was an intelligent player. He inspired others around him by sheer force of personality and his playing ability. He's probably got a better shot than most at making that transition into managerial, but time will tell. There's no givens here.
I really want us to get Xabi Alonso back as well. I was listening to an interview with him, who the lads from the Anfield Rep did with him. It was an incredible interview. But, you know, listening to him talking about football, that makes you think, we need that lad. He's going to be a manager some way. The way he understands the city, the way he understands the club, and the way he gets winning, you know, he's won everything. He's won the World Cup and the European Cup twice with Spain. Still not sure that he should have won the World Cup in 2010, but fair enough. He's going to maybe win the Champions League with the third with a third club, and only Seedorf managed that ever before him. So you know, winning the Champions League with three different clubs, he knows everything about winning. He knows everything about football. I heard Jamie Carragher talking about him, and he said, before we signed him, he was already on the phone with Rafa saying, I think we can improve here, saying we need to do this and we need to play this type of football. And if you say that's what you want to do, I'll come. How is that for a 22-year-old?
At least he was always a class player. And if we had FSG at the time when Rafa took over, we would have a dynasty right now if he had the backing and the support. Just wanted to say something. You could always go the Mourinho route instead of the other way. With his motto is to err is human. To blame it on someone else shows management potential.
Well, interesting. Mourinho is all about winning. He is always busy with winning. He will always do all these things to divert attention, to blame somebody, to get a scapegoat. Yep. To take the blame, take the heat, do whatever, take pressure away from his players. I think he's a tit, but he is all about winning, and that's why he always wins with his clubs. I hate the football he represents, but I think
it's being unkind of you being unkind to tits.
Well, fair enough. I'll take that.
Personally, I think this game against Middlesbrough that they played on Sunday was the perfect example of Mourinho football. Middlesbrough actually had over 60% possession in that game, and but Mourinho, his team scored in the first half, and then they just let Middlesbrough play and. Not exactly park the bus, but they play defensively and hit him on the counter. And they won.
He finds ways to win, which is irritating.
Exactly.
Fucking irritating.
He will do what he needs to do to win, even if that means letting Middlesbrough take the ball and do whatever they want with it.
Yeah, well, you can give Borough the ball for 90 minutes, walk off the pitch, come back, and they haven't scored. They're absolutely terrible. So, I was pretty annoyed that they didn't have the new manager bounce. You know, you could see from Hull that they really had that bounce. It really started to click and he really started to go back to working. And the Leicester thing and Swansea, you really could tell something had changed. This Borough side is absolutely terrible.
They've just not got the players, have they?
They're going down, along with Hull and Sunderland.
Yeah, Hull seems to have lost it already.
And I can't see Sunderland getting out of the mire, as they say.
Yeah, I think that's a shame, because I would have loved to see Moyes do another season of this.
I would have loved to see Fat Sam go down.
Oh, yeah, with all my heart.
I would give anything to see him get relegated.
And now all the fat bastard needs to do is take points with Sacco from the better teams. You know, there was I think the first season Mourinho came back to Chelsea. He sent Lukaku on loan to Everton, I think. And Everton took away points from basically everybody. And he couldn't play against Chelsea, and Chelsea took 6 points from Everton because they had nobody else.
Didn't they do something like that with Juan Mata as well? If they sold him at a point where United wouldn't play against Chelsea anymore.
I think it was in the contract that he couldn't play the first game against them, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
we play Palace.
No, no,
soon as well.
We still need to play them. Yeah, well,
yeah.
But Sacco seems
to be the 23rd April we play them at home.
Sacco seems to be one of the main players that is taking care of the revival. And if he goes away, let's just hope they will have a bad day.
I've got a feeling Klopp made a mistake here. Yeah, he might not have liked Sacco, but Sacco would have played a role. And we probably could have used him and needed him. He could have got rid of him at the end of the season if it was that divisive. But I think pride over common sense got the better of Klopp at this stage.
I think he made a point.
Huh?
I think it's team building. You can't say, okay, you're a reasonable defender and I think you're okay and you're funny, but you couldn't give a single shit about team thematics and the rules that we apply to the team. So I want everybody to do what they need to do, and you're okay. He's not better than Matip. He isn't better than... Well, he really isn't better than most of our starting 11. He's just one
okay,
of the
so
guys.
Okay, so he's not better than Lucas, your favourite.
Starting 11.
But we had injuries. We could have used.
No, I get that,
could have banished him. To the reserves at under 23 for half the season. And then when the injuries got bad, we could have pulled him up and utilised him. There's different ways. I don't criticize Klopp for doing it. I just say I think we missed him.
Yeah, well, I don't. I think the only thing we should have done is anticipate on it and get a top defender in this summer.
100%. But it's still the matter of the fact is we missed him when we had the injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Or we missed a replacement with the injuries.
I would actually say that we really missed...
I was actually just thinking in the City game the other day that perhaps he might have been a bit quicker to react than Clavan, for example, to the City goal.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we've missed him. I don't criticise Klopp for making a point and sticking to that point and building the team. But I think a fit and firing Sarko integrated in the team would have been a hell of a big benefit for us this season.
Well, he's hardly fit, is he? He's always had injuries and issues with his fitness, so...
Look what he's doing at Crystal Palace. He's making a difference. I think he could have made a difference. But anyway, water under the bridge. It's not going to change the fact that he's not with us. So, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, okay. Talking about moving on, I think we've covered the Ronnie Moran thing and the boot room thing that he represents.
Just one more thing on that, Eric. We did mention Carragher earlier. Does anyone see him coming back in, or has he moved over to the dark side now with Sky?
I think as long as Klopp is here, that there'll be no place for Carragher.
Can I tell you an interesting story? I don't know if anybody knows a rugby coach, Nick Mallett.
No, because nobody cares about rugby. Go on.
No, but he was one of the most successful South African Springbok rugby coaches. He's now commentating. And I've met him a few times and spoken to him. And I said, Nick, you were one of our best managers. Why aren't you back in coaching? He says, Keith, I can sit in the studio, talk shit, get paid a shitload of money. I don't need the hassle. I don't need the pressure of what management brings. And I think Carragher is sitting there, he can say and he can criticize and do what he wants without any comeback because it's his opinion. Would you want to go into football management if you had that cushy job?
I think he'd like to go into coaching, not management, but coaching. But I don't think it'll happen as long as Klopp is here. Not after the Karius incident.
Yeah, I can't see him at Liverpool, I must admit.
I think they can have a chat and just go on about their ways. I don't think Kara actually wants it. I think he's happy as the pundit.
As a pundit, yeah.
And I don't blame him. You know, if you look at in England, it was Stevie actually who said once that every Premier League manager is always 8 days away from getting the sack. So it's hard to instill something where you say, okay, I want to build something. Give me time. I need this. I will make this team better. I just need time. And, you know, in the end of the day, Klopp is already one of the longest serving managers in the Premier League. What does that tell you? He still feels brand new to us. But in the end, he isn't.
1, 2, 3. To say goodbye, we know you could have taken us so much further. So now all of those charms, all of those jokes will always live on in our heart. Heart of hearts, you are the buzz, you are our favorite song. To say goodbye, we know you could have taken us so much further. You always put on a show, but it's hard not to win. You're everyone's hero, a socialist of the working class, so let's all raise our flags to half men. To say goodbye, we know you could have taken us so much further.